I want to thank the musicians this evening and all of those who have offered some very, very wonderful readings as well. Thinking what I would say this evening, I decided I would go back to the first Christmas meditation or homily that I delivered here in my first year of ministry with this congregation. Maybe some of you were here at that time. Somehow it feels appropriate to do that on this night. I used a story then, a very real story that had been all over the news from the prior year and up into 1988. It was about a little girl. She's about 2 or 3 years old at the time. She toddled off into the corner of an aunt's backyard in Midland, Texas, fell into a narrow well shaft which had long been out of use but was not securely covered enough to prevent a baby from falling in. Little Jessica McClure got stuck quite a few feet down in that shaft. She was not seriously hurt, she just couldn't get out. Well, the story of this child trapped in a well got out. And this was back in those Neanderthal days, also known as the pre-internet era. And Midland, Texas became the virtual center of the universe. I happen to have a sister and brother-in-law and their family who have lived in Midland longer than my family and I have lived here in Nashua. They said the incident was nothing like their town had ever known before or has ever known since. Well, structural engineers flew in from all parts of the country on their own time, at their own expense, to offer their expertise in a rescue operation which involved constructing a parallel rescue shaft several feet away from the one that the child was in and trying to cut through to where she was and having to do so in such a way that the whole thing would not collapse on the child. Evacuation companies donated their equipment. Rescue operators came in from all over the place. And even without the internet, the television networks gave continual updates on the progress of this effort. And after 2.5 days, as much of the world watched and waited, little Jessica was pulled from the well, and she went on to live a normal kid's life. And the last time she was in the news was about 7 or 8 years ago when she graduated from high school. She said she remembered nothing of the ordeal. And she's now approximately about the same age as my son and daughter-in-law who lit the chalice here a little earlier. She continues to live her life well out of public view. I do note that the 25th anniversary of this event isn't too far off, though, so maybe we will hear from her then. Well, like I said, I use this story to offer my first Christmas Eve message to what was then my new congregation. What I said then was that in addition to being captivated by the story, as much of the rest of the world seemed to be, I was also struck by how in a matter of days, this little Texas toddler became a mythic figure. And by mythic, I do not mean false. Because both the toddler and the incident were very, very real. I mean mythic in the sense of all that this one child came to represent and embody nearly a quarter of a century ago. There are so many of the world's children, most of them nameless to us, who daily are endangered or who daily lose their lives to accidents or disease, want, human neglect, human folly like war, and we don't even know who they are. But here was a child we could save, and we knew her name, and we knew where she lived. Little Jessica McClure for a few days came to represent or embody or incarnate all that people of hope and goodwill want to be able to do for all of the world's children. She allowed us to be the kind of people we most yearn to be, most want to be. She provided an opportunity for some of redemption from their more mundane selves and a chance to find their more uplifting or uplifted selves. Well, yeah, she was just a little kid who had the misfortune of getting stuck in an abandoned well shaft. But in doing so, she also became, at least for a time, the universal child who called us to our better selves. Well, Even though I was new to this pulpit when I first recounted that story, pretty much in the way I've done it to this point, I figured most of the folks who were hearing it then would be able to see where I was going with it, just as you probably do now. This incident from quite a few years ago is one of those occurrences that helps me to understand once again the continuing power of the story and the imagery of the birth of Jesus, which Harriet just read for us. It's an ongoing, it's a powerful image, both within and beyond the Christian communion. For at the center of the story is another mythic figure. And in this case, we don't quite really know who he actually was or how he actually came to be born, even if his name was a rather common, if not generic one for his time, Jesus, Joshua, kind of like Tom or Joe now. But the legend about a baby being born under the most precarious of circumstances also calls us to our better selves. For this mythic legendary child is the bearer of hope and love and peace and redemption. All those things, in other words, for which humanity most yearns to have. The historical setting for this story is pretty close to the mark. The Roman occupation of Palestine, the census decree, the reign of Herod. And whether they made a trip to Bethlehem or not, there were Persian astrologers who did look to the signs, to the stars, for the sign of a new age. And so it was out of this setting came the legend of a child, born to peasant parents in trying circumstances, and whose birth was heralded by celestial beings called angels and tracked by Eastern magi. And this was an ordinary child, as the story came to be told. He was an endangered peasant child, but who would also be one who would call humanity to its better self, thereby offering humanity itself once again a chance to be redeemed from all of its human folly. So when a story like this endures for 2,000 years, continues to be told, continues to be celebrated, that tells me that such a legend is striking a human chord in a way that transcends the dictates and the doctrines of any one religious faith. Just as that image of a helpless child trapped in the earth struck universal human chords and remains in our memory. The late Reverend Sophia Foss, the mother of today's Unitarian Universalist religious education, reminds us in words that have become a part of our script, part of the scripture of our liberal religious tradition. She wrote a poem with the occurring line, "Each night a child is born is a holy night." A newborn child is a bearer of hope and a reminder that we are still called to be bearers of hope and love and peace and justice for all of those in our human family. Each night a child is born is indeed a holy night. But yet it still seems that we need a particular holy night and a particular story and a particular image of a particular child to remind us of all that. This is a child that in time came to be called the Christ. That term, too, is a universal one. It does not apply to just one human being. A Christ person, as I've come to understand it, is someone who brings transformation and increased wholeness into our lives. Someone who gives us an enhanced sense of who we are and what our lives can be. Sometimes it's one who has made sacrifices for the sake of our own empowerment, sacrifices for the greater good of humanity itself. And so that image of a babe in a manger is really a paradigm for all these kinds of Christs, for all of our hopes of what we as a human race may yet be. I'm going to ask Anya Zakowicz to help me conclude these remarks by a reading that she will share with us as we prepare for a time to sing together and light our candles.